I'd also like to read in the book of Job, please, with you. This time, the book of Job, chapter 41. We'll just read one verse together, and we'll think about it for a few minutes. Job 41, verse number 8. So you're in your Bible, the book of Job, chapter 41, and verse number 8. Now Job is being told here about this Leviathan, this mighty beast, that's basically impossible to control. So whether a person realizes it or not, they are helpless to control this beast. And now in verse 8, what can you do? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle and do no more. I want you to think about that with me, so we'll read it together again. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle, do no more. Tonight we're going to think about another thing that's impossible for you to control. That's impossible for you to manipulate. And yet, there is something that you can do tonight. It's impossible for you to repeat or affect the work of the cross. You can't do that. It's impossible for you to save yourself. You can't do that. But you can do this. You can lay your hand upon him. You can remember the battle. And here's the hard part. Do no more. Very simple, and yet we're going to think about this now in regards to the cross. But before we do that, I want you to think with me just for a second. I want you to think about eternity. Just eternity. If you look at the chart behind me, and we are going to look at the chart together, the chart has a couple of different divisions that are quite evident. The first division is right here by the pillar that is death. So in Hebrews chapter 9, we are told about death. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this. Now, on this chart, this pillar death divides between our lifetime, the here and now where we are, and eternity, where we will be forever after we die. I know that's simple, but it's so important to grasp that there is a lifetime where we are currently living, and there is the reality of eternity. Or where we are going. So where we are living and where we will be forever. Eternity. And, of course, the chart divides itself in a different way, kind of right down the middle here, because in time, there's an up and a down. And in eternity, there's an up and a down. In time, there's a road that goes downward that the Lord Jesus spoke about. It's broad. It leads to destruction. And there's a road that goes upward, and it's narrow, and it leads onto life. And in eternity, there is life, heaven, and there is destruction, hell. So that the reality of eternity is this. We go, we're not coming back, and we're going to be in one of two places forever. Heaven or hell. But I was thinking recently about how we can leave this world. And I think if I'm correct now, according to the Bible, there are four different ways that you can leave this world. Four different ways. Now think with me for a second. According to the Bible, it is possible for you to die in your sins. Now I'm not sugarcoating this, and I'm not I'm not trying to soften it in any way. I want every single person to face this head on tonight. It is possible for you to die in your sins. That is, if you refuse to believe on the Lord Jesus, you remain in your sins, you die in your sins, and the Lord Jesus says, where I am, heaven, ye cannot come. So you'd be in hell. According to the Bible, you die in your sins, you go into a lost eternity. Have you ever thought about it like this? Why do people go to hell anyway? What is the reason that a person ends up in hell? Sometimes you'll ask that question and you get this very common answer. You say, well, because I'm not saved. You say, well, that's not the real reason that you would be in hell. And the next answer comes, well, because I've never trusted Christ. Well, that's not the real reason. I want you to think of it in these terms now. Cancer is a very serious disease. We understand that. We would never make light of it. If a person had cancer, diagnosed by their doctor with a curable cancer, and they were given a prescription for pills, let's say pills, okay, so you figured out already I'm not a doctor, right? Person has cancer and they're given a prescription for a medication. The person goes home and they tell their family, I have cancer, I am sick. And if this cancer is not cured, it will die. I will die. You take the medication, you put it on the kitchen counter, you go to bed. You wake up the next morning and you know you have cancer. You know if you don't get cured, you're going to die. And you walk right past that cure, right past that medication that's on the countertop. You go about your day, you go to bed that night, and you still have cancer. And all day, that cure, that medication was right there on the cupboard. You go to bed, and you wake up the next morning, and you have cancer, and you know it. And you know if you die, if you're not cured, you're going to die from it. You walk by that medication again, you walk by it at night, you go to bed, you wake up the next day, and every single day your cancer doesn't get better, and you're walking past the medication until finally you're hospitalized, you're in palliative, and you die. What did you die from? Say, I died because I didn't take the pills. No, no, you died from cancer. You could have taken the cure, and it could have solved the problem, and you would have lived. But you died from the cancer. Now, I want you to think of sin like that cancer, and people living every day in their sins, knowing there's a cure, knowing that Christ is the answer for sin, rather than trusting Christ. You wake up in the morning knowing you're a sinner. You go to bed at night knowing if you remain a sinner, you'll be lost forever. And you're walking right by the cure every day. When you die in your sins and end up in a lost eternity, it's not just because you didn't take the cure. It's because of your sin. That's why people end up here. It's because of sin. And one way to leave this world is to die in your sins. There's one thing about it, is that with God, there are no double standards. And by that, I mean this. There are people in this room tonight, and if I died, and if some of you died, nobody would be able to say that we died young, right? And there are others in the room tonight, and if you died tonight, we would say it's a tragedy, such a young person to die. But can I tell you this? The older people in our meeting, the younger people in our meeting, if you die in your sins, It's hell forever. And that's for everyone. There's another way to leave this world, and that is to die in Christ. Different way. Now, it may be the same event, you know. Could be a car accident in your sins, could be a car accident in Christ, but the way you die is completely different, because once a person trusts the Lord Jesus, they enter the door, they're on the way to heaven. If they're called in Christ, no longer in your sins, you die in Christ, the end is so different, so different. So that immediately from the body, a person goes into a lost eternity when they die in their sins. According to the Bible, the moment a believer leaves the body, they're immediately at home with the Lord. That's a different way to die, isn't it? So it's possible tonight to leave this world if you die in your sins. Tragic. But it's possible if you were to trust Christ, you'd be in Christ and you would leave this world and go into glory. This one is not talked about as much in the Bible, but according to the Bible, in the Gospel of Matthew, we are told the Lord Jesus is coming. He's coming back to this earth at the end of what's called the Great Tribulation. I'm not going to spend much time on this, but I think it's necessary for us to know that there will be people alive at the end of this tribulation who will go directly into the lake of fire. Because the Lord Jesus sets up what's called the throne of his glory, and he divides the sheep from the goats, the believers from the unbelievers, and the believers, they go into the kingdom, and the unbelievers go directly into the lake of fire. So those are three different ways that you can leave this world: in your sins, in Christ, or from here to the lake of fire. But there's one other way that people will leave this world. And on the chart, it's right here. And I know you think about it sometimes, and I know we talk about it sometimes, but this is going to happen. The Lord Jesus is coming again for his people. According to the Bible, it could happen anytime. You know what? I'm going to tell you this. In the Bible, believers wanted it to happen. Believers wanted it to happen now. Now, I'm going to ask you this question, and all of you can think about it with me, but I want you to be honest. Is there anything better? Now, this is for young and old. Is there anything better that can happen today than that the Lord Jesus would come right now? I got a lot of you thinking, and if you're being really honest, you'd be scratching your head. Never thought about that. Is there anything better? Now, there's lots of good things happening in the world, right? There's a sale of Canadian Tire right now, and I'll grant you that almost every pot that's ever been on the shelf is half price. They do that every year, by the way. They trick you into buying all the cookware, right? And there's sale on tools, and the hamburgers are just as good at McDonald's as they ever. There's lots of good things in this world to make us comfortable so that we're living in this world thinking that this is great. This world is a mess. And when the Lord Jesus comes, he's going to remove us from this mess and take us home to be with him. But we say, well, it's not that. It is bad. The reason we don't think it's bad is because we look at it through the lens of earthly things. This world is absolutely anti-God on every hand. And those who are believers should be hungering and thirsting after righteousness. And the only time that we will ever see righteousness unimpeded by sin is when the Lord Jesus comes. That's why John was saying, "Even so come, Lord Jesus." It wasn't just because he was suffering on an island all by himself. It was because all around him, the world was against Christ. And he couldn't wait for that day to where Christ would come. And he said, even so, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Now, it's not the first time I preached like this. I did it in Sussex one night. And a couple of days later, Joe Potter took me out for breakfast. And he said, now, you said the other night that you would pray for the Lord to come. I said, yeah, I did. And I prayed that the Lord would come. He said, now, did you really mean that? Would I really mean it? I don't know. Joe said, let's look at it this way. What if I told you there's a button on this table, and if you press that button right now, the moment you press it, the Lord comes. Would you press it? It'll make you stop. And it made me smile. He said, what if I told you if you press that button, you'll never ever sin again? Would you press it? That's more tempting now, isn't it? Let's go a step further now. We're outside of mine and Joe's conversation. I'm just talking to you now. What about if I told you that the moment you press that button, the Lord Jesus comes and every saint is taken right out of this room. Boom. Gone. Would you press it? If I told you that the moment that every saint leaves this earth, they are immediately in bodies that will never, ever have an ache or a pain again, would you press it? Would you press the button if I told you that as soon as you touch it, you'd see the Lord Jesus face to face? Now, if you're a believer on the Lord Jesus and this is not getting more and more tempting to press that button, something's wrong, isn't it? You see, we were not designed to love the comfort of this life. We were designed to look for the man who is coming. Those of us who are believers, there's nothing better that could happen to us tonight than that the Lord Jesus come to the air, we leave this earth, we're forever with him. And I would have to say, if pressed, that's a play in words, I guess. If pressed to make a decision, every one of us would press the button. Because that is going to be the best day of our life when the Lord Jesus comes. Nothing better. Nothing better. You can thank God that there's no button. Because you still have a chance to be saved tonight. I wonder sometimes if some of the people who listen to the gospel in a gospel meeting are uncomfortable when the preaching turns to the coming of the Lord because they would be uncomfortable if the Lord was here. Be uncomfortable because you know that you have no confidence that when he comes, you will go. But that's a way that people will leave this world. Let's recap it again. All of these are going to happen to someone. Someone has died in their sins. And there are yet more who will. I love the fact that there are some people who left this world today and they died in Christ and they went into glory. I'm convinced that just as sure as we are in this room tonight, there's coming a day when there will be people go directly into the lake of fire. But you know what's absolutely fantastic? Is that as sure as we're all here tonight, the Lord Jesus could come at any moment and we'll be caught up together with those who have already died to be with the Lord forever. I love how the Bible is very clear. He is coming. So for the honest heart who thinks about eternity and thinks about their sin, there's one major question. How can I go from being in my sins to being in Christ? How can I go from being on the road down to being on the road up? How can I go from fearing the Lord's coming to looking forward to it? I don't want to labor this point, but my. There are people in this room tonight, and you're scared to death that the Lord might come. And the Lord wants to give you confidence. The Lord wants to save your soul. The Lord wants to change your destiny. And the Lord wants to take away fear and give you confidence, assurance. And yet, there are people, rather than face the fact that they're fearing the Lord's coming and turn to Christ, they'll leave this room tonight and rather dwell with that fear rather than have the confidence. But here it is. God wants to do something for you that will change your destiny and give you confidence. What is it? He wants to save you tonight. But there's one thing that gets in the way of salvation every time, and that's you. You get in the way of your own salvation. And that's why I read in Job chapter 41. Because while it is taken in the context of this Leviathan, I think the phrasing is perfect to tell you how you can be saved. Beginning with this. Lay thine hand upon him, remember the battle, do no more. Lay thine hand upon him. Now, that means nothing to us tonight, pretty much nothing. Until you start to think about what that meant to a person in Old Testament times. In the days of Job, there was not a tabernacle yet. There was not an altar, a brazen altar or a golden altar. None of that was yet set up, but they still had sacrifices. And when it comes down a little later in the Bible, you will find that these sacrifices were sacrifices to worship, and they were sacrifices to pay for sin. Very simply, there were sacrifices used in religious worship, and they were sacrifices for their guilt. If a person was guilty before God, they needed a sacrifice. Now, when a person would find that sacrifice and would bring that sacrifice, there's something that they had to do. They always would take their hand and they would lay their hand on the sacrifice. Okay, now what did that mean? There were a few things that it could have meant, but in its simplicity, this is what he was saying. A person had sinned. They had done something that made them guilty in the eyes of God, and they know if they're going to have forgiveness, they need a sacrifice. So he comes, and then he takes his hand, and with everyone watching and the priest looking on, he touches it. What's he saying? This is my sacrifice. This sacrifice for me. This life for my sin. That's what he was doing when he laid his hand upon the sacrifice. So when we are going through this tonight in terms of the gospel, I want you to think of this. Think about the Lord Jesus. Think about his sacrifice. And not take your literal hand, but just like this man was claiming that sacrifice for his own, this sacrifice for me, this life for my sins. You look at the cross, you look at the man of the cross, and you say, that sacrifice is my sacrifice. That life was given for my sins. That's the beauty of the cross, you know, is that he didn't die for his own sins, but I am thankful he died for my sins. Scott mentioned in these meetings that he had here on the tabernacle that there was one time a year when a sacrifice was made where the high priest took both of his hands and he put them on the sacrifice. And the word is that he leaned on that sacrifice. So now it's not just the idea of identifying himself with that sacrifice and saying, this sacrifice for me, he's taking both of his hands and he's putting his weight on the sacrifice. So he's saying, I am leaning on this. I am depending upon this alone. You see, when it comes to the gospel and it comes to the Lord Jesus and his work on the cross, it is never, ever, ever preached in the Bible that the Lord Jesus is part of our salvation. He's all of it. He is all of our salvation. So that if you're sitting here tonight and most of your salvation story is about you and yours and what you have done and leaves Christ only a little part, then it's not the salvation of the Bible. According to the Bible, everything depends on him. And if I'm going to heaven, I'm not only claiming him as my sacrifice, I'm depending completely upon him. But it's a beautiful thing when you do. You lay your hand upon him. But then it says, remember the battle. And now it's not talking in terms of scripture. It's not talking about a famous battle in history. It's some kind of a war, but it is talking about a battle. But remember, it's pointing us now to the cross again, because on the cross, it wasn't just a man dying. There was a battle being fought, but there was a victory that was won. Yes? According to the Bible, the Lord Jesus won the victory over sin on the cross. He went into the battle of the cross and he came out victorious. But he also won the battle over the devil at the cross because he went to the cross and he defeated Satan. So the battle over sin and the devil, but also the battle over death, because when he died, he died to put away sin. He died to defeat Satan. And through his death and resurrection, he's defeated death itself. So the man who died on the cross has won the battle. Take your hand. Take him as your own. Depend completely upon him. But remember, Calvary is where it all took place. Tell you the most important thing in my mind about the cross is that at the cross, the Lord Jesus completely satisfied God forever. Completely. He won the battle. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. And then it says, stop trying to do stuff. Rest. Rest on him. Do no more. Can't you just see us all? We're like that man and we lay our hand upon the sacrifice. We take both our hands and we put it on the sacrifice. And we watch the sacrifice die, and we remember God says that's all he needs is a sacrifice for sin. And once the sacrifice blood has been shed, then that sin is remitted. One sacrifice for that sin. And we know it's my sacrifice. I'm depending on this sacrifice. The sacrifice has died. God says that's enough. But now, if I just hold my fingers the right way, and if I pray enough, and if I feel enough, and if I cry enough, and if I worry enough, and if I'm, then God will save me. Can you see someone like that with a sacrifice? Rather than just taking the sacrifice as their own, depending on the sacrifice, knowing that God says that that's enough, and resting. You see, that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to look to the cross and the man of the cross and identify him as my sacrifice. He wants us to remember what took place there. He wants us to know that God says that's enough. And he wants us to stop trying to improve it. You say, I'm not trying to improve it. I'm just trying to believe. What you're trying to do is satisfy God with believing. But he's already satisfied with the Lord Jesus. Well, I'm not trying to believe. I'm trying to feel saved. Well, what you're trying to do is satisfy yourself with a feeling. But you should be satisfied with the Lord Jesus. You see, there's nothing left to do when he has done it all. Do no more. Do no more. Now, there's two things that I like to say to people that I think we need to think about in 2025. Number one, don't settle for anything less than the Lord Jesus and salvation. But number two, don't look for anything more than what the Lord Jesus has already done. Do no more. Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the cross and do no more. We'll pray. Our Father, we are thankful for the Lord Jesus, for the cross, for the mercy that thou hast shown us. And Father, we are thankful for the completion of the work, the battle that has been won. We're thankful that our feelings are not the gauge of our assurance, but we're also thankful, Father, that the scriptures are clear that without Christ, we die in our sins, but in Christ, we have every blessing. Help us tonight to be honest in the presence of God. And we do pray, Lord, we pray that our loved ones will be gathered in before the Lord comes. But we would pray with the Apostle John, even so, come Lord Jesus. There's nothing better that could happen to any one of us tonight who are in Christ than that Christ would come. We look to thee for this in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.